We're on.
The microphones are on.
Good morning. For Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, we'll convene this great day today. And may I have the flag salute from...
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chaplain.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to serve our community and for those who are gathered here today. We ask for your wisdom as decisions are made. Help these leaders to listen well, act with integrity, and work together for the good of all. Grant clarity in difficult issues and patience in every discussion. Remind us that our choices impact the lives of those we serve. Bless this meeting with purpose, respect, and understanding, and we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Wendy.
Alrighty. For roll call, looks like Valenzuela. No Valenzuela today. So Supervisor Ogre.
Present.
Supervisor Cobsett.
Here.
Supervisor Harris.
Present.
And Supervisor Help.
Present.
And my understanding is Supervisor Valenzuela will be gone for the entire meeting.
Correct.
That's what I've been told. You have an announcement or are we good?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my little announcement,
yeah.
Sorry. It feels like Monday. Okay, the board will be convening today as the County Service Area Number 4 and In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority and receives no additional compensation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, presentations from the public. In this time slots for information from the public, no action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments can be presented, if so desired, by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. And when addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. I'm going to repeat that 3 or 4 times because I don't think anybody pays attention to that one. Okay, I have Shelley Davis.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought
you wish to speak. Could you fill out a card?
Fill out this blue card, sure. And then hand it back to us.
Okay. Are you
the clerk?
Clerk
is
ready.
Okay, I have some.
And then I'll call on you.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors, Chairman of the Board. I'm Shelley Davis, Director of Public Health. And what I have here, who I have with me today, is Rick Florendo. He is our new Deputy Director of Environmental Health. And I just wanted to introduce him to you. As we know, the previous director, Rick Dean, has retired. And we're super excited he's on board. On the agenda, you'll see there's some code changes going on, moving Environmental Health over into Public Health. And I just want you to know he brings years of experience and expertise, and we're thrilled to have him.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Rick Florendo, Deputy Director of Environmental Health. Been with the county for going on 10 years now, and I feel privileged that I can lead such a great team in Environmental Health and look forward to doing our continued good work for the community and the county. Thank you.
Thank you. A.J. Brown and Tanya Dallas.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Board of Supervisors, Tanya Dallas with the Siskiyou Economic Development Council. And I just wanted to share with you this morning a quick report that we held our regional Upstate California Tourism Conference last week in Mount Shasta to a sellout crowd for the first time ever. This was the first time the regional conference was in Siskiyou County and the first time we had a sellout crowd. And I'm really proud. Our team from Discover Siskiyou did an amazing job. AJ's on our team with the Discover Siskiyou, and so she gets much of this credit that I share across the board. And thank you to Supervisor Ogre, who took the time to spend the 2 days with us. Appreciate it.
right, wonderful. Good morning, board. My name is AJ Brown. As Tanya said, I was Assistant Economic Development, but today I am actually here to talk about our program, the Shasta Cascade Small Business Development Center. As many of you know, it is National Small Business Week. It's a time to celebrate the vital role that small businesses play in strengthening our local economy, especially here in Sistine County. So the SBDC, as a reminder, provides no-cost confidential advising and training to small businesses and entrepreneurs throughout the region. We work one-on-one with business owners to help them start, grow, access capital, and navigate challenges, from business planning to marketing and government contracting. Today, specifically, one of the key initiatives I wanted to let the board know about is our upcoming NorCal Procurement Fair. This is an event that our SBDC started 3 years ago and has been gaining momentum and incredible success, bringing people from around Northern California to our region. So for many rural businesses, these connections are incredibly important. The Procurement Fair connects the small businesses to government contracting. And we also provide workshops leading up to it that help ensure local businesses are prepared, competitive, and positioned to take advantage of those opportunities. So we strongly encourage local businesses to attend and take advantage of free resources. And it's also our understanding that Siskiyou County will be in attendance and participating as well. So we thank you for that. And thank you for your time and continued support of small businesses.
I never
get
the last word, AJ. But I would like to share with you that the month of May is, in addition to being a month that we celebrate small businesses in Siskiyou County, we also celebrate tourism as an industry that's important to our local economy. And we celebrate economic development as an important tool to support our communities. So I bet you'll hear from us again this month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next I have Margaret Lewis.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. And hello, my name is Margaret Lewis, and I am the chair of the Humboldt County In-Home Supportive Services Advisory Board. And our advisory board is also a member of the California In-Home Supportive Services Consumer Alliance, or CICA. CICA is a statewide organization composed of members of advisory boards from 25 counties and holds semi-monthly virtual statewide meetings to inform and train members and the public on various ways to engage with recipients and providers and to keep abreast of the legislative actions affecting the IHSS program. I'm here today as part of our advisory board's outreach project to support and encourage development of advisory boards in various counties. Counties are mandated by California State Welfare and Institutions Code 12031.6 to form a public authority to carry out the delivery of services of IHSS and an advisory board to report to the governing board. These reports are designated to inform the governing board of the effectiveness of the IHSS program and to make recommendations for improving the delivery of services. Advisory boards also outreach into communities to inform the public of the IHSS program and to provide support and networking for care providers and program recipients. One of the most valuable functions of an advisory board is to provide a voice for consumers to express needs and concerns and to play an active part in their own care. And I'd like to mention here that in Siskiyou County, the recipients comprise 1% of the population of the county. We encourage the establishment of an advisory board here in Siskiyou County. This is done by ordinance of the Board of Supervisors. The advisory boards are funded by the state and federal governments, each entity paying half of the allotted amount. I would also encourage you to visit the CICA website at cicaihss.org to learn what the organization and other counties are doing. The California Association of Public Authorities, or CAPA, is also a valuable resource. They meet monthly and are responsible for public authority budget distribution, and they also keep abreast of legislative action regarding the IHSS program. The Humboldt County Advisory Board is also here to help. We can be reached at, I'm not going to say the whole thing, but it's there on the paper, it's long. My personal email is ml@asis.org. Please feel free to contact us at any time. Thank you for this opportunity to talk to you about this crucial topic. And I'm Margaret Lewis. Thank you.
Thank you. Matthew Dustin, is that correct?
That's correct. Good morning, Board. My name is Matt Dustin. I'm the superintendent of the Wairika Union High School District, also the Montague Elementary School District and Pornbrook Elementary School Districts, as we do in this county. I'd just like to take a very brief period of your time this morning. As you know, one of our students at the high school was engaged in an attempted murder last week, and I went home and reflected a little bit after that event and found myself compelled to appear before you here today as an invitation and a call to service. I would like to express some very sincere frustrations, I think, from myself, but also superintendents throughout the county. 25 of us in a county of 40,000 people, there are 33,000 children in the Sacramento City Unified School District. So we have very small schools, but very large jobs to do. Our children are not safe in schools in Siskiyou County. This incident, I feel, is a failure on several levels to intervene. Anybody would have told you that the student had a handgun prepared to use it. I have staff members who send their children to Sacramento to live with other family members for fear of this student. He had been referred to law enforcement several times over the last year, including an armed robbery at a gas station here in town, had posted a video of himself throwing a homeless youth off of a balcony at Motel 6, had also recorded a video of himself unboxing a box of extended magazines and loading a firearm, pointing at the camera. All of these things referred to probation and law enforcement. And the unfortunately expected outcome is that he ended up shooting one of our community members, adult community members, last week. I find myself in a position where I'm laying off teaching staff members in order to support positions that I feel are really outside of the obligation of the school district. Extreme mental health care issues, students that are connected to probation and law enforcement that are remanded to this school and to our authority, expelled from school only to be enrolled in a community day school that exists on a campus with my staff and students. And I think it's time as a county to look closely at these matters. It's hard for me to sit in a room with my staff members and tell them that they're safe at school. And I try to do my job as a superintendent, but I'd love for this to be an invitation to everybody in the room to join us at the SCOE superintendent meeting, first Tuesday of every month. I'm gonna excuse myself in a moment and return. But I feel like we're at a critical mass right now, and I know we're all gonna point our fingers at the budget and back at the state, but I think that there's capacity here in the county. All of you are very involved and engaged, and we appreciate you. And I'm going to conclude with 5 seconds left on the clock, and I would love to see you at the County Office of Ed next month. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comment online?
Showing that online.
Anybody else wish to speak in-house? Okay. Move on to consent agenda.
We could, Mr. Chair, remove 5D as in dog for the county administration.
Okay.
Move to approve the balance of the consent agenda.
Second. All right. Supervisor Ogre?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye. So we're dropping this, or
no, Joanne,
is it coming back?
Has some info.
Okay.
Jane Johnson, County Administration. So we could just remove this last sentence. That's the recommendation.
The red line?
Yes.
And you already passed those out to the board, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
So I was asked to make a further amendment to it that we strike respectfully urges you to reconsider and just put opposes.
And that's the last sentence of the letter?
Yeah. You see where I'm talking?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like like there's a chance that, you know, we'd reconsider.
That we might support it.
Huh?
That we might support it. Yeah, I'm okay with that. What's the reason for the red line?
It's
kind of reiterates the same point too many times in the letter, and the last paragraph basically sums up the letter pretty well, so I think it's just not needed.
Okay. So what would you like that last line to mean?
The last line should read what I'm proposing. For these reasons, the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors opposes SB 1305.
Period. As the Davis County Administrator, period. Yeah. So no other sentence after.
Okay. Yeah, and that would be my motion.
Okay. I'll second.
Alrighty. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Copsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye. All right, thank you. We'll move to Departmental Request 6A, Community Development. Assistant Transportation Board.
Good morning. Haley Lane, Community Development Director and also Interim LTC Executive Director. So staff today is requesting an extension to the withdrawal period to November 18th, 2026. And the reasoning behind that is one, you know, with the retirement of prior director Melissa Cummins and also ongoing discussion with the LTC Commission regarding restructuring efforts with myself getting on board with LTC. This will allow staff time to continue on those discussions. And so with this extension date, it's staff's intent to have the restructuring efforts, you know, agreed upon, approved, and everything is all done, you know, prior to that date ending. And with that, I will answer any questions.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Copsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Howe?
Aye. Thank you. Moving on to 6B, Health and Human Services.
Good morning, Sharon Health, members of the board, Sarah Clark, Health and Human Services. We are here today in recognition of Mental Health Awareness Month, and I'm here with Bonnie Forsythe, who is the newest member of the Behavioral Health Board, and I will turn it over to him.
Hi, I'm just here to give a little presentation. Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. My name is Donnie Forsythe. I'm a resident of Mount Shasta and the newest member of the Siskiyou County Behavioral Health Advisory Council. Our chairperson, Sasha Height, is unable to be here today, unfortunately. I hope you'll bear with me as this is my first time doing such a presentation and it may lack the polish of somebody more experienced. A bit of history of our council: the Behavioral Health Advisory Board has existed in Siskiyou County for over a decade, with documented bylaws for the Siskiyou County Behavioral Health Services Board ratified as early as November 20th of 2006. Mental health boards are established by state law. Among our duties, the Behavioral Health Board is responsible for reviewing and evaluating community mental health needs, services, special problems, and facilities. California Behavioral Health Councils are primarily funded through state and county allocations, mostly from the Behavioral Services and Health Act, formerly known as the Mental Health Services Act, which is funded by a 1% tax on personal income over $1 million. We do have some changes that have been happening because the Behavioral Health Services Act changed from the Mental Health Services Act. Key changes to the proposition are increased oversight. The new BHSA shifts roughly 10% of funds to the state for administration and oversight, which is compared to 5% under the old MHSA. It also switches to integrated plans. Beginning in 2026, local councils are funded to help develop integrated plans that blend various funding sources, including Medi-Cal, opioid settlement funds, and grants, rather than just BHSA funds. Members of the local advisory boards are typically volunteers, and funding is designed to cover their expenses rather than salary. The board is currently made up of service providers and community members, with our Board of Supervisors delegate being Nancy Ogren. We recently elected a new chairperson, Sasha Height. She is the director of the Six Stones Wellness Center here in Wairika. Justin Hadler is our vice chair and a community provider of mental health services, and myself and Earl Chancellor make up the remainder of the current board as interested community members. We're currently in the process of adding additional members. We will be moving forward with the nomination of a Veterans Affairs Officer, Sean Williamson, and we have been reaching out to local law enforcement to find a delegate from one of their offices. We have also discussed a strategy of working with the College of College of the Siskiyous at local high schools to gain a youth member of the board. Most recently, we've been discussing implementation of the county's plan and its changes to the Behavioral Health Services Act, which made wide-ranging changes to behavioral health under the former Mental Health Services Act. A number of presentations from the director, Sarah Collard, and other involved parties. Most recently, Joshua Stanslaw provided an updated budget and initiatives as the county transitions from provisions in the Mental Health Services Act to the requirements for the Behavioral Health Services Act. In the future, we'll be discussing implementations of the department's plan for the BHSA, and we'll be looking to liaison with patients' rights advocates, and our next meetings include site visits to mental health, providing services, and homeless shelters for the unhoused. The board's hope today is to promote awareness and advocacy for those who suffer with mental illness. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and as part of that, we've compiled a list of services that are available in the county for those who may need support. We also want to draw attention to the importance of addressing mental health issues and of providing avenues for those who may struggle with starting or maintaining a continuing plan of treatment. The following are sources that are available throughout the year and a valuable presentation provided by the Sixth Wellness Center for Mental Health Awareness Month. The Wairika Resource Center has a mental health workshop online every Tuesday from 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. and an in-person workshop every Wednesday evening from 5:30 to 7:30. Community circles in Dunsmuir on Wednesday from 1 to 3, and Wairika from 11 to 12:30, and Mount Shasta from 2 to 2:30. Six Stones Wellness Center in Wairika has daily groups around mental health wellness, sobriety, and life skills. On May 19th at 2 p.m., we will be hosting an annual Break the Stigma talk. Join us for a powerful conversation that promotes healing, understanding, and hope. For those struggling with substance use disorder, the LifeWorks, Turnaround, Next Step, and Adolescent Transformation programs are outpatient programs that are available at Siskiyou Behavioral Health with Siskiyou Opioid Safety Coalition. The county's behavioral health websites has links to all the pertinent services as available and contact information for service providers throughout the county. Thank you for your time this morning. As the newest member of the advisory board, I am still learning about the responsibilities of my position and getting used to what I'm doing. But I look forward to working with county leaders in our community and addressing the needs of our fellow citizens here at Siskiyou County. Thank you for your time.
Yes.
Thank you.
I have a request, a possible request. Given the public comment that we had today, this board doesn't directly deal with a lot of things with the schools. I know a lot of departments do. I think maybe it's time that we take a look at what programs we do interface the school districts with. Maybe come back to us and share that with us. Tell us what's working, what needs to be tuned up, if there's anything we can do to strengthen that. Because his concern, what's precipitated today by an event, is an ongoing concern of mine. With children in our schools.
I'd be happy to do that.
Okay. So it's a follow-up to that. We contract with the Wairika High School, don't we, for mental health services by salary, correct?
We contract with them under MHSA, and as you know, that's ending June 30th. We are putting out an RFP the types of services we can provide under BHSA are somewhat different, and so we'll be putting out an RFP. I don't know if they'll respond. They've expressed some interest in continuing to provide services under BHSA. We work closely with them. As you know, we've been here presenting several times on the MHSSA grant that is essentially a pass-through from us, from behavioral health to the schools. That grant, the initial round of that grant really was around establishing levels of service, tiers of services, and our referral processes so that those things are in place. But I'm happy to come back and give more specifics. So yes, there are two, we're in the second round of the BHSSA, which is the career pathways that we spoke about, I think it was at the last meeting, and screenings for kids, universal screening. So those two contracts will continue, and if they apply, if the schools are interested in continuing services under BHSA, we will be back with that contract as well.
Understood, but currently there is a contract to provide services, not unlike what we heard today.
Yes, we support services there, and we work with them around referral pathways back and forth. The youth they were describing today clearly met criteria or meets criteria for services at the county because we serve the people who are struggling with the most severe mental health issues. So we, you know, we work to establish those pathways as well.
Dr. Kalari, can you explain what that looks like when they, when somebody like that qualifies for services? How does, what is that, is there a referral from the school, or what does that look like?
It can, pathways in service can look different, right? So I don't know anything about that youth, but if those types of threats were made, we would evaluate for 5150, right? Because that's one of the ways that you enter into care if you're making those types of threats. If that person met criteria, we would then, you know, hospitalize in an acute setting so that he could stabilize, and then we would follow up with treatment after that. Referrals come through the door, right, from schools and parents and sometimes from kids themselves, and we, you know, we establish care that way. As I think you know, right, almost all of the services we provide are voluntary. So if that youth or any youth said, no, I'm not doing it, we, our hands are tied, really. I mean, even the tools that I think we've been given to try and address those issues aren't always Care Corps, for instance, right? It's a voluntary program. We can refer people in, but if they say no, we, our hands are tied. So other than conservatorship, right, which is a process, and we serve clients on conservatorship, which is involuntary care, if someone is unwilling to come into treatment, we do a lot of work around engagement, but we can't mandate.
If that person is a minor, does that change?
If that person is a minor and their parent says you're going to treatment, or CPS says that, or, you know, probation, there's that leverage. But I will say often for the kids we treat, it's really difficult to engage the parents, and so to have that kind of support is sometimes challenging. But yes, and you can come to treatment, and I've seen many kids like this in my day, sit in a chair and say nothing, right, for an hour and leave. So there really has to be some level of engagement. And our staff, you know, they're trained and have a lot of experience working with this population, so they do what they can to engage people.
So the other thing on my mind, too, is that, you know, there was a, I think you pointed to the sheriff's department or something on this. I know it's not your department, but I guess I need to know where the trigger is there, between what you see and having law enforcement engage. Because clearly, I think this, it was either a security failure on the part of whatever's in place at the school, or a failure of law enforcement to take a proactive stance on that, and I'd be interested to see what that relationship is and how that works too. And maybe we can include the sheriff on that.
I will commend the sheriff in this county. There are many counties where law enforcement refuses to go out. We've had situations where we have mobile crisis out in the field, and the sheriff has been willing to assist us, right? Like if we have someone that's on a 5150 and they're refusing to, they're refusing to go to the hospital, our team can't put hands on, right, and take them. Right. So the sheriff, I think, unlike in a lot of other counties that I hear about, the sheriff has been very collaborative, so I really want to appreciate him for engaging with our team, because there are times when we can't, you know, we can't put hands on.
So yeah, well,
he's been
this,
really helpful.
And this, I agree. This particular case that would have fallen probably on YPD.
Right, and they also work with us well, generally.
So before you finish, I mean, it sounds as though from the, what we heard this morning that there were a lot of warning factors that didn't get caught, I'll frame it that way, and for as many resources as that we have within the county system itself, I would hope that you would take a closer look at how it even transpired, because it is, we're a small county, and yet there's a lot of resources for this very kind of incident. So I'd be curious to see what fell through the cracks that it didn't rise to a level of concern.
I'm not aware of the circumstances of this case, and even if I were, I could
right.
share
I know,
that.
Right.
But
yeah,
I do
get that.
Agree
yeah.
with you that it's important to look at every situation where there's a failure, right, in the system,
right.
and for us to evaluate internally, you know, are there things we could have or should have done that we didn't? So we certainly undergo that every time we have some kind of bad outcome.
Yeah, I thank you. And when you did bring it, it'll give me an opportunity to harp on something that really irritates me is that the perception or the policies of the school is not willing to embrace proper security for the students up front. You know, our schools are wide open. Any fool with a weapon or anything else can walk right onto them. And it just can't continue that way. We're not Siskiyou County of 20 years ago. That's not the world we live in anymore. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we need motion on this, or did
on the
do?
Proclamation? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we
move
do.
To approve.
Thank you.
A second.
All right, Supervisor Oberyn.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howell.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh yes.
Angela Davis, County Administrator, pursuant to the Director of Emergency Services, the request is to extend this item.
Move to extend.
Second.
Thank you.
Give me just a sec here. Kopseff and Hal, thank
yep.
you. All right, and that was to extend. Okay, Supervisor Oberyn.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe.
Aye. Moving right on to the next related item, 7A. Review status of local emergency related to proliferation of illegal cannabis cultivation.
Move to extend.
Second.
And Harris, second. Thank you. Supervisor Oberyn.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe.
Aye. All right. Recess the Suffolk County Board of Supervisors and convene as County Service Area 4. Public comment. This period is for public comment.
Showing none online.
Seeing none in house. Minute approval.
No changes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. Alrighty, so Director Oberyn?
Abstain.
Abstain on that one. Supervisor, Director Kopseff?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
And Director Howe?
Aye. Adjourn Siskiyou County Service Area 4 and convene in Home Support Services Public Authority. Time for public comment.
Showing none online.
Seeing none in house. Consent agenda. Wishes of the board.
Move to approve.
Second.
All righty. Director Oberyn?
Aye.
Director Kopseff?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
And Director Howe?
Aye. Minute approval, April 21.
No changes on those?
Move to approve.
Second.
Alrighty. Director Oberyn?
Abstain.
Director Kopseff?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
And Director Howe?
Aye. Adjourn the Sports Services District and reconvene as Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. Minute approval, April 21.
I've received no corrections on either, but we might want to take them separately if Supervisor Oberyn would
move to approve 10A, April 21.
10A?
Okay.
Supervisor Oberyn?
Abstain, I was absent.
Thank you. Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Huff?
Aye. April 27th, item 10B.
Move to approve.
Second.
That's approved. Okay. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Health?
Aye. All right, move on to public hearings. Item 11A, community development. Williamson Act. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
We'll open a hearing on Williamson contract number 72064. Staff report.
Thank you. I'm Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. Mr. and Mrs. Lutz were granted a Williamson Act contract amendment and boundary line adjustment to transfer approximately 0.57 acres of land developed with accessory structures from Williamson Act contracted land to a parcel that was developed with residential uses on their property located on East Lake Road west of the community of Middle. During this process, a notice of non-renewal should have been issued for the 0.57 acres that was removed from the Williamson Act encumbered parcel and transferred to the residential parcel. As that recommendation was not made at the time the contract amendment happened, staff is bringing it back to the board to be considered. Staff recommends the board adopt a resolution directing staff to issue a notice of non-renewal for the subject property listed in Exhibit A1 to the draft resolution. Staff also recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA Guidelines Section 15317, Open Space Easements and Contracts, and Section 15061B3, the Common Sense Exemption. A recommended motion has been provided in the board packet. Thank you.
Presentation of any correspondence?
No correspondence for this one.
Any reports, arguments, or evidence by staff or other county departments? Proponents, arguments?
Showing none online.
Seeing none. Opponents, arguments?
Showing none online.
Seeing none. Public comment?
Showing none online.
None in-house. No rebuttal. Am I closing this hearing?
We can close the hearing on this one.
I'll close this hearing, bring it back to the board. Discussion of the board. Any discussion? Entertain a motion.
I'll move with the recommended motion.
Second.
All right. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Health?
Aye. Community Development, Planning Division again. Good morning. Item 11B. Mr. Berry.
Thank you. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. At the October 21st, 2025 Board of Supervisors meeting, staff recommended 5 properties be issued a notice of non-renewal as the property owners had not returned completed surveys which provided information on the uses occurring on the property. The board recommended the issuance of notice of non-renewal for all the properties with the exception of one, the property owned by the Bairds. Mr. Baird was present at the meeting and provided comment. The board directed staff to work with Mr. Baird on what was necessary to return to compliance under his contracts and also provide information on how to rezone the property to timber production zoning. Staff contacted Mr. Baird. Information was sent via email and in person. The owners have not since provided any requested information, application submittals, or requested any additional information from staff. At this time, staff is recommending the issuance of a notice of non-renewal for the 678.6-acre property located on Quartz Valley and Mill Creek Road, west of the community of Greenview, under Williamson Act Contract 71051 and 72062, as the property has portions under 2 separate contracts, one of which contract has multiple ownerships. Surveys regarding agricultural uses have not been completed and returned by the owners, and declarations regarding agricultural income has not been completed and returned by the owners. Staff recommends the board adopt the resolution to issue the notice of non-renewal and determine this project exempt from CEQA. There's a recommended motion in your packet. Thank you.
Presentation of correspondence.
None at the clerk's level.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff.
Showing none online.
Proponents' arguments.
Showing none online.
Mr.
Yeah,
Baker.
I got an argument.
Okay.
What this lady said, not exactly true. We did meet with
Sir, we need your name for the record.
Mark Baird.
Thank you.
Not exactly true. We did meet with her, and we were not offered a solution to stay in Williamson. We were told we wouldn't be included because, oddly enough, if you have 200 acres of grass, you can get in Williamson. But if you have 200 acres of grass in a 700-acre parcel, it's too small a piece of grass to be included in Williamson, and that we didn't comply with the rules to be included in Williamson. We weren't offered a workaround. We weren't offered, you know, we weren't told, well, if you submit this survey, then you could be included. That's not what we were told. We were told we wouldn't be included because our size, the size of our grass parcel in relationship to the size of the total parcel was too small to be included in Williamson. So I went, okay, so you're going to kick us off then. Pretty much that's it. There was no workaround. And I was kind of curious anyway, because Ed made a statement, well, the county doesn't get anything out of Williamson anyway. But Ed didn't know the legislative intent of Williamson was to preserve agricultural land for future generations. And anyway, how much of the money I risk my life to earn does the county deserve? Twice as much? Three times as much? What do I get out of it? The answer is nothing. I've seen one cop in 30 years on my road. The grader comes along 3 days after the snowstorm to plow the snow when nobody needs it anymore. We don't have mining anymore. We don't have timber anymore. We don't have energy production anymore. The state's assaulting farming. The county's done nothing about that. So really, how much more of my money do you intend to steal because now you claim that the parcel of grass that I have is not big enough to be included in Williamson because I have trees too? And I know you're going to do what you're going to do. Most of you know me. I understand that. It's not personal to me. It's just taxation is theft. You intend to steal more of the money from me than you already get, which is a sizable amount. It's around $8,000 a year, give or take $1,000 or so. And that's just in property taxes. So ask yourself the question, really, how much money do you deserve from the money that I risk my life to earn? I say you're already getting your fair share, but that's up to you. That's all I got to say.
Opponents' arguments.
Showing none online.
Public comment.
Showing none online.
Yeah. I have met with Mr. Baird as well on this and suggested that the better suitable mix would be TPZ. For this property, and it does qualify for that.
How do you do that? Where do you go to do that?
I'll talk to you about it later.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
And actually, under TPZ, my understanding is the taxes are much less.
Works for me, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Rebuttal by proponents.
Showing none online.
Any rebuttal by opponents.
Showing none online.
I'm going to close the hearing and bring it back to the board. Discussion.
So along the order of which you just indicated, so if we do this non-renewal, it's over a 10-year period, correct?
Yeah.
If I may?
Sure.
Should they apply to rezone to timber production zoning, we can do an immediate cancellation after the non-renewal, and it could immediately go into timber production zoning.
So, yeah, where I'm going with this is I don't want a gap so that if, because under the Williamson Act, if it's a non-renewal, usually it's 10-year, so that it's incremental, but would give enough time for a TPZ. But if you're saying that it can just revert quickly to that, if that works with Mr. Baird, I guess the next question is, what's the cost associated with doing this?
To do a rezone?
To go into TPZ.
So the county...
Roughly.
I can only refer it to the county fees. I don't know because you have to work with a registered professional forester to provide a timber management plan unless there's been a timber harvest plan recently done for the property, which could it within those plans, it provides us the a lot of detailed information that's required to show that it qualifies for timber production zoning. So that might already exist. I'm not sure if they would have that cost, but the county fees, I believe, are around $1,900 to do a rezone project.
Okay.
Yeah, the foresters piece of that, I can't quote you a cost on that, but the size of the property would, and its proximity to the urban interface would probably qualify for the 2,500-acre fuels reduction exemption. As a PhD, which is pretty simple to complete.
So if Mr. Baird is supportive of, I guess, what we're dialoguing here about, if that gets you where you want to go, I can be supportive.
Sure. Yeah, no, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, then the taxes on that are only if you harvest.
Okay.
I'd like to recommend the motion.
I'll second based on what we've talked about. And I'm sure Supervisor Haupt will give us an update if there's a snag in the process.
And I'll work with Mr. Baird.
Ready for a roll call?
Sure.
Okay. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
As long as this moves along as we just discussed, aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye. For the general public, too, if you've noticed, these Williamson Act contracts that have a significant amount of timber on them with limited grazing ability, I've been questioning these for about 2 years now and trying to move property owners over to TPZ, which is a better and more appropriate classification of this land use. And I think long-term benefits are much better that way. All right, item 11C, another Williamson Act non-renewal.
Thank you. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. Ms. Musenich owns 15 acres on Orofino Road, west of the city of Fort Jones, which is under a Williamson Act contract and has multiple property owners. The parcel alone does not meet minimum acreage requirements for a separate contract. This has been discussed with the owner. She is not opposed to the issuance of a notice of non-renewal. And you can see in the staff report packet for the Ag Preserve Administrator, the assessor's office did provide comment, and they gave us a layout of what the taxes are currently and what the taxes are expected to be after non-renewal. And you'll notice that the taxes are not to change as the entire property is being assessed as a residential property. So Ms. Musenich provided a letter saying she's not opposed to the non-renewal. So staff recommends that the board adopt the resolution directing us to issue a notice of non-renewal for the subject property that we have listed as Exhibit A1 to the resolution. Staff also recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15017, Open Space Easements or Contracts, and Section 15061B3, the Common Sense Exemption. There's a recommended motion in the board packet. Thank you.
Okay, presentation of any correspondence?
None at the clerk's level.
Showing me online.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff or other county departments or public agencies.
Showing none online.
Opponents' arguments, seeing none in house.
Showing none online.
Opponents' arguments, none in house.
Showing none online.
And a public comment. Seeing none in house.
Showing none online.
No rebuttal. I'm going to close the hearing and discussion by the board. The only question I had was just the one where the property has been sold off over the years and it's down to minimum acres, it doesn't qualify anymore.
Correct. This is a residential piece that was split off from a large ranch.
So she just has the 15 acre.
Okay. All right. Other discussion? I'll make the recommended motion.
Second.
Ready. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye. E. RTQZ.
Haley Lang, Community Development Director. So there are two potential zoning code changes in respect to the community development director duties and the health and human services director duties. Both departments have been collaborating with the CAO's office on moving the environmental health divisions over to the public health division. And really, this is industry standard. I think currently we're like one of maybe three counties in the whole state that still had environmental health under community development. Now it is being moved over to the public health division under health and human services. And so as a part of this process, we are revamping and updating the director duties for both departments. I don't think they have been looked at for a number of years. So the purpose of that was to update the code, make them current, but also make them flexible. So if there are any, you know, potential changes down the road with the departments, we wouldn't need to keep coming back to the board for updates with these duties. And with that, I will answer any questions.
What's that?
And with that, I will answer any questions.
Okay, not yet. All right, presentation of correspondence.
No correspondence to the clerk.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff or other county departments or public agencies.
Showing none online.
Opponents' arguments. Seeing none in house.
Showing none online.
Proponents' arguments. Seeing none in house.
Showing none online.
Public comment.
Showing none online.
Seeing none in house, no rebuttal. Close the hearing and bring it back to the board for any discussion.
We do not want to close the hearing. We want to continue the hearing.
You always catch me with that.
I am sorry. We don't publish again if we don't have to.
Okay. All right. So discussion with the board.
Through the chair.
Yeah.
So this makes sense. A couple of concerns that I just have is. Does this work within a building permit as well for inspection, I guess, on like septic system, water systems, along that nature?
Right, so that will still occur. That won't change.
Understood. And that's fine. But I guess where I'm at going with that is this doesn't create yet another stumbling block to a builder to have to go to two different departments. That can slow down the process.
Sure. No, not at all. So our permit center is going to stay open. It's going to essentially act the same in terms of, you know, how the members of the public view it. Really, it's just kind of like a back-end administrative change, but it's still going to be a one-stop shop.
Okay.
You know, folks are going to come in with their needs for any of the divisions. You know, they're just separate administratively now.
Okay. We don't bog down the system.
No, absolutely.
We're trying to expedite,
yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
I just want to be sure of that. And as far as communication-wise, from whoever, an entity, business, or whatever that needs to communicate with the department, who would that be?
That would be, for environmental health, it would be Deputy Director Rick Florendo.
Okay.
And, you know, should the proposed code changes be approved, you know, staff were planning to work with the PIO on getting the information out to members of the public just so, you know, they're aware of the change. But, you know, as I mentioned,
I support a user-friendly transition. I'll
yes.
put it that way and continue that way because I know
yeah.
that it's been a, you know, there's been bumps along the way, but overall it's been user-friendly.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I want to see that continue. And lastly, I want it on the record so that the CAO's office knows it and that the new department knows it. There's a fund in environmental health for septage fees that have been received over the years I don't want to lose sight of that. That is for a septage receiving facility somewhere when that comes up. And I think the city of Montague is working towards that.
Yep.
But I don't want to lose sight of that because it's somewhere around 350,000. Yes. So
yeah.
I don't want to lose it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Looking for a motion.
It's a motion to approve.
Second.
And the recommended motion does say to continue the public hearing to June 16 for the second reading. Yes. So we will put it back on the 16th of June.
Okay.
All right. Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopset.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Help.
Aye. F. Where did it go? All right. Mr. Phelps.
I think you go with E and F.
E.
Yeah. Okay, good. I had my E for that order. Madam Clerk, I have some PowerPoints. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hello and good morning. James Phelps, Planning Division, County of Siskiyou. This is item 11E. We're here for the first reading of an ordinance to reclassify 160 acres of AG2 farmland to TPZ. This project is located on Schumeyer Gulch Road, south of the city of Rarica. I have a picture, you have to turn. Oh, okay. Yeah, you can see it's out there on the ridge there. On the left-hand side is the location map. On the right-hand side is the zoning map. Staff did do this project. It does appear to be consistent with the county code and policies, and staff is recommending approval. This project is exempt from CEQA. Staff's recommendation is that you introduce, waive, and approve the first reading and continue the public hearing to June 16th for a second reading and final action.
Can we pull up the right map for that, please?
There's only one picture on here.
I do have a staff report as an attachment to you.
Because I was looking at that, looking for point. I can't figure this out.
Let me find your staff.
That's all right. I had some of the wrong notes on the last one, too. Too much paper in front of me.
One second.
Is this the correct one? I saw Acer not Klamath.
Quite Acer sure Klamath is the next one.
Is the next one. We want the one that says Shasta Cascades.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yes, it would be item 11E. E.
So is this Williamson Act currently?
The next two were previously Williamson Act. The properties were owned by the fruit growers, and Acer Klamath purchased that property. But I'm not sure if the Shasta Cascades.
Is this what you're looking for?
No, there's actually an attachment that is the staff report.
Should be a PowerPoint.
I have this is the only PowerPoint attached.
Did the wrong one get pulled in?
This is on 11. E down, E? All of them. It's the same attachment.
But about a year and a half ago, we brought some projects to the Board of Supervisors, a bunch of Williamson Act contracts that were non-renewal. I believe Shasta Cascades, this project was one of those. The new owners opted not to renew their contracts because they had their agricultural use, I believe, was grazing.
Okay, so it was under Williamson Act at a point.
Yes.
So that's all I need because I know we don't have any new Williamson Act contracts, but going from Williamson to TPC, to me, not having new TPC would be, you know, also be on the table, but if you're coming from Williamson Act into TPZ, I don't have a problem with that.
I don't think we have a choice on TPZ. There's a separate zoning process under the State Board of Forestry.
Okay. Well, it helps that it's under Williamson Act, because we're not depleting the...
From a county standpoint.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, as far as the discretion to the landowner, I don't think the county can...
Attachment 7 under 11E should be the Shasta Cascades PowerPoint. It is in Questus that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that PowerPoint is...
The PowerPoints were just to show the general location in the county that shouldn't
it's
tie up this
just
time.
This.
That's better.
That's better.
That's
there
the
you go.
For those in the audience looking at this, it's it shows kind of the absurdity of some of these old Williamson Act contracts that are
right
on top of a mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the green portions, the dark green portions on the right-hand picture, those are TPZ parcels. The highlighted portion in the middle is the parcel that is prospectively to be rezoned to TPZ. Currently it's AG2. You can see it's consistent. This is part of the National Forest. It's never going to be developed. It doesn't look like agriculture could exist on that ridge. The agricultural use was grazing. They had some grazing contracts, but when they purchased the property, they chose not to continue with those contracts.
Somebody help me, where am I in this one? So you're finished with the staff report?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry, I've got a script I have to follow here, and if I don't, Wendy will jump on me. Presentation of correspondence.
Let me double check. I do not believe we got any at the clerk's level. Nope, none.
Any reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies?
Showing none online.
Proponents' arguments, seeing none in house.
Showing none online.
Opponents' arguments, seeing none in house.
Showing none online.
Public comment, seeing none in house.
Showing none online.
No rebuttal. I'm going to. Not close this hearing. Bring it back to discussion of the board. Any discussion? I think we've already had some.
Yeah.
I'll make the recommended motion.
Second.
Thank you.
All righty. And again, this would be one to have the second reading on June 16th. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Copsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Thank you.
Now, next.
Yes, sir. Thank you. James Phelps, Planning Division, County Siskiyou. This is item 11F. Same type of project. This is the first reading of an ordinance to reclassify, this time 640 acres of rural residential agriculture to TPZ. The property is located west of Rarica between the cities of Rarica and Fort Jones. You go up the mountain and take a turn right, go along the ridge there. These are two parcels, one 600-acre parcel and then the little 40-acre parcel on the top. Left-hand side of the PowerPoint is the location map. Right-hand side is the zoning map. As you can see, the parcels are surrounded by TPZ, so it would be appropriate to allow this to be rezoned to TPZ. These type of projects are always exempt from CEQA. Staff's recommendation is that we introduce, waive, and approve the first reading of the ordinance and continue this public hearing to June 16th. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Any correspondence?
Nope, none at the clerk's level.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff or other county departments. Seeing none, any proponents' arguments? Seeing none in-house.
Showing none online.
Opponents' arguments? Seeing none in-house.
Showing none online.
Public comment? Seeing none in-house.
Showing none online.
No rebuttal, and I'll bring it back to discussion of the board. Discussion? Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
I will second. motion and a second.
Oh, thank you. I was waiting. Alrighty, Supervisor Okren.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Hill.
Aye. How you doing, Wendy?
Doing well, but we've only got a couple more.
Just checking. Item G.
Thank you, Chair Help. This is item 11G, same type of project. This is for Acer Klamath Forest. This is 9 parcels for a total of 2,600 acres. That's a lot of land. The project is east, far, far east of Rarica and Montague, up on the hills there. Left-hand side, location map. Right-hand side, the zoning map. As you can see, large portions of that area are TPZ. Large portions are also zoned AG2. Acer Klamath is requesting to rezone to TPZ. This area was owned by the Fruit Growers Company. Acer purchased it several years ago. They became aware of a Williamson Ag contract and they didn't want to sign the contract, and then they ended up being non-renewed, and this was one of the options we gave them. In speaking with the assessor, Craig Kay, I was under the impression the tax differences weren't that much different for Williamson Act and TPZ, so for the county, the consequences might not be that extreme. However, we would be getting taxes for TPZ. Again, project is exempt from CEQA. Our recommendation is introduce, waive, and approve the first reading. Continue the public hearing to June 16th. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Presentation of correspondence.
Yes, we did receive one of our public hearing notification letters back to Lee Tai Kong et al. In Brentwood, and it came back as undeliverable.
Thank you. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff. None. Opponents' arguments and/or evidence. Seeing none in the house.
Showing none online.
Opponents' arguments and/or evidence. Seeing none in house.
Showing none online.
Public comment. Seeing none in house.
Showing none online.
No rebuttal. Discussion by the board. I just have one comment. You know, I can't shut up. I think it's interesting to me is that a student of vegetation my whole life, looking back historically at this county, these TPZ products today probably would have been grazing 1,500 years ago, given the changes in intensive forest management that hasn't occurred in the last 50 years, as well as the elimination of fire. And so I could see this as this seems like a big deal, but it's a progression of management changes on the landscape and how vegetation changes over time. I know you love that lecture, but that's just me. Sorry about that. Anyway, I'm looking for a motion.
Make a motion.
Second.
Alrighty. Supervisor Okren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Community development. Item H.
Thank you, Chair Howe. This is item 11H. This was one of my favorite projects. this is the first reading of an ordinance to reclassify 11.4 acres of land north of Dunsmuir. Location map, everyone will recognize this. This is that intersection right by Mott Airport. Everyone's always dumping their trash there and stuff. The project proponent, Alan Baradar, has been trying to get this project off the ground. He's been trying to develop the property for a long time. Finances constraining, he's just opted to rezone at this time. It's not appropriate for RRB. You can see it's right next to the intersection. It's right next to the Caltrans yard, and then right behind it is the railroad line. The request is to rezone from rural residential to highway commercial. This makes sense given the on-ramp there and future development of the county.
in South County and future development of the town of Dunsmuir. Staff is recommending introduction, waiving, and approving the first reading and continuing the public hearing to June 16th for a second reading and final action on this project. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Presentation of correspondence.
None at the clerk's level.
Okay. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff or other county departments.
Showing none online.
Proponents, arguments, seeing none in house.
Showing none online.
Opponents, arguments, seeing none in house.
Showing none online.
And public comment, seeing none in house.
Showing none online.
No rebuttal. Discussion by the board.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. I'm just going to second with a thank you very much for bringing the potential for some jobs and industrial development.
Thank you for your time, sir.
And again, this is another one that the second reading will be coming back on the 16th of June. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Copson?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that concludes open session, and with that, we're going into closed.
I'll help you out.